Good morning. Two things today, a teaching and a reflection. A teaching and a reflection. Today is the feast of Christ the King. It's the last day of the liturgical year, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, which begins a new liturgical year. Christ the King. In the church, there are these solemnities and these feasts that we celebrate, Easter being one of the obvious ones. In the early church, Easter was the defining feast, the defining solemnity that was celebrated. It defined who we were as Christians, remembering the resurrection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, every Sunday was meant to be a small Easter celebration, which it still is today. Another feast is Christmas, which actually, it's interesting to note, in the early church, it was a few hundred years before Christmas was a celebrated feast. It took a few hundred years before that feast became part of the liturgical year, referred to as the Feast of the Incarnation. So if I ask you about the Feast of Christ the King, when do you think that feast came about? 2,000 years ago? 1,000 years ago? 500 years ago? Actually, not even 100 years ago. The Feast of Christ the King came about in 1925. And I want to tell you a little bit about that, a little bit about how that came about. In the 1920s, Pope Leo XI wrote an encyclical. An encyclical is a teaching document that the Bishop of Rome issues as a way of teaching of the church and the wider world. Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical that I will refer to in a couple minutes, but he's most known for an encyclical he wrote called Quadragesimo Anno, which refers to another encyclical that was written by Pope Leo XIII, actually in the 1800s, around the 1880s. Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical called Rerum Novarum. Rerum Novarum. Considered one of the most defining teachings on what we refer to today as social justice. Rerum Novarum is an encyclical that was addressing the needs of the times that Pope Leo XIII lived. It was addressing the rights of the workers and the responsibility of employers. It was written about capital and labor. And was addressing some of the injustice of his time and bringing up the sense of the gospel speaking to those times. The present Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, defines his ministry as a priest and as bishop as very much shaped and formed by social justice. And when he became Archbishop of Canterbury, he said that the most defining document for him regarding social justice was Rerum Novarum of Pope Leo XIII. A powerful document, one that I had to study when I was in seminary, and just an incredible piece of teaching about justice in our world. 40 years later, Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical to celebrate that Rerum Novarum, to mark the 40th anniversary, and it was referred to as Quadragesimo Anno. 40 years later. These encyclicals are named by the first words that are in the encyclical. He was referring to the 40th anniversary of Rerum Novarum. And Pope Pius XI is credited with using for perhaps the first time the phrase social justice. Social justice. Now, I'm not saying Pope Pius XI invented social justice or we've only had social justice since the 1920s. I mean, Jesus preached social justice. The prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures preached social justice, challenging the injustice of the world in which they lived. But Pope Pius XI used that phrase in his encyclical Quadragesimo Anno, and it became a phrase that has really become more common and inviting us and engaging us to engage with the world around us to make a difference. So Pope Pius XI marked that 40th anniversary. But he also wrote another encyclical well, maybe not the most significant of his papacy, but it was written, it was called Quas Primus. In the first, he's referring into the first letter that I wrote a while back. He's referring to other writings. But in this encyclical, Quam Primus, that he writes, he's looking at the time in which he is living, the 1920s. It is just after World War I. Leaders, kings are collapsing. Dictators are arising. There are great challenges in the world in which he is living. It's also been defined as a great time of what was referred to then as a secular time. And Pope Pius XI tries to engage with that world. And what he does is, what he's teaching and saying is, dictators and kings are not the sovereigns under whom we live, but rather it is Christ the King. Christ the King. The encyclical was meant to challenge the world at that time, to remind us whom we all really are called to serve. Not kings and dictators, but this Christ, Christ the King. Now that's that feast became part of the liturgical year. It's been changed around over the years of where it is in the liturgical year, but now it's at the end of the calendar year, the end of the liturgical year, which is today, the Feast of Christ the King. And it's a feast day that's been taken on by many of the mainline churches, many Protestant churches, liturgical churches. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters celebrate Christ the King. The Anglican Communion, we Episcopalians celebrate Christ the King. Our Lutheran brothers and sisters celebrate Christ the King. As a matter of fact, what's the name of the local Lutheran church here in Cary? Christ the King. Interesting feast. That's the teaching. Well, for reflection today. There's much artwork that's been done to try to depict this image of Christ the King. There's one that shows Jesus dressed in regal garments with a crown on his head and holding in his hands the earth, kind of the orb, this idea of, you know, I am the ruler who rules over this. Very regal. It's not an image that really speaks to me of what the message of Christ the King is. The one that speaks to me, though, is the cross. The cross. And it's why our gospel reading today is about the crucifixion. The cross. Here at St. Paul's, we have before us a cross that stands here behind the altar, and we see it very vividly. That's a cross. There's also what's referred to as a crucifix. A crucifix is a cross that has the body of Jesus on the cross, referred to as a crucifix. Over there in our healing area, we do our prayers, healing prayers, we have a crucifix as well. Some people say a crucifix is more Roman Catholic, a cross is more Protestant. I don't necessarily agree with that. I just think they're different, and we're drawn in different ways in our spiritual journey. One speaks to us at certain times as another might speak at another time. But there's another cross, more like a crucifix, but it's called the Christus Rex. Christus Rex. It's a cross that has Jesus nailed to the cross, but dressed in priestly garments with a crown on his head. It's referred to as Christus Rex. It is Jesus the King reigning not from a throne, but from the cross. In a sense, the cross being that throne. In my former parish of St. Stephen's in Pearl River, New York, we had a Christus Rex that we would look to. A very powerful image and one that fed me in my spiritual journey for my years there as rector. Very powerful image. Jesus ruling from the cross. And that's why our gospel reading today is about the crucifixion. Let's enter into that a little bit. We've just heard the story of Jesus being crucified. And as we hear in the gospels, there were others crucified around him. And there's also a reference to these two others who were crucified with him. And in today's gospel from Luke, we hear this dialogue that goes on. Jesus is in the midst of his suffering, unjustly, and he's dying on the cross, in the midst of others suffering on the cross as well. And these two folks on each side speak. And I suggest they speak of two different things. One, I think, speaks of cynicism. The other, I think, speaks of faith. Listen to the conversation. Cynicism. One of the criminals who's hanging on the cross next to Jesus is sort of like, is like taunting him. If you're the Messiah, if you're the one they say you are, make this all stop. Make this all stop. Take it down. Suffering shouldn't be part of this world if you're the Messiah. Make it stop. However, the man on the other side turns to Jesus and says, he must have had some sense of the holy. In the midst of this, you cannot imagine the suffering on that cross. In the midst of that, this man has some experience of the holy. And he turns to Jesus and recognizes how unjustly this crucifixion is for Jesus. And he says that powerful phrase, "Jesus, when you enter into your glory, remember me. Remember me. May I go with you on this journey that this crucifixion leads to. May I walk with you through this, in this, to where it is leading." That's a person of faith speaking. The cynic is saying, somehow this suffering doesn't need to be part of the world. Make it go away. Change it. Isn't that a powerful, powerful message? I would hope that that message of faith speaks to us. In the world in which we live, when we see injustice, when we see poverty, when we see oppression, part of us can say, I wish it would just go away. But the person of faith sees Jesus in the midst of that and walks into it, walks through it, and sees it as the path to new life, to new possibility. And so on this feast of Christ the King, this King who rules from the cross, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our own lives, the crosses we carry, the suffering we have, in the midst of our families, in the midst of our communities, in the midst of our world, in the midst of our own community here in Cary, the homelessness, the poverty, the hunger, the challenges that we see, may we engage with that as people of faith and go forth to make a difference, to make a difference, to go forth to live into the dream that God has for us, the dream that God has for the world. And may we engage with this Christ the King, this suffering Christ, and be part of that suffering, knowing that it will lead to new life and new possibilities. Let us go forth living into the dream.